Okay. Question, name, sir?
Rafael Danny in Sanabria.
Okay, the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson will serve as a lead. So the next voice you will hear will be the Honorable Mr. Johnson.
Okay.
Good afternoon, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
All right, good. Sir, you're here before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. Could you please state your name or ADC number for us for the record?
My name is Rafael Damian Sanabria, 160-419.
Okay, Mr. Sanabria, I'm going to introduce you to the board members conducting your hearing today. You have the Honorable David Moore, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who's our board chair, the Honorable Mrs. Gail Rittenhouse. My name is Michael Johnson. I'm acting as the panel lead today, sir. Also with us, sir, today, representing the Department of Corrections, as well as the parole office, is Mr. Oliveri, sir.
Okay.
Sir, prior to your hearing today, you received and signed a notification form advising you of this board's hearing today. You recall receiving and signing that form, sir?
Yes, I remember.
Okay. On that form, sir, you were notified of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or to hire a licensed attorney at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney or are you representing yourself today, sir?
I'm representing myself.
Okay, so your hearing will be conducted in two phases. In phase one, the board will make a determination whether the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. In phase two, the board will make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate your community supervision. We're going to start out at phase one, sir. You have one allegation listed on your warrant. I am going to read that allegation to you. When I read the allegation to you, I need you to state whether the allegation is either true or false, okay? I need to swing you in too, sir, at this time. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
I do.
Okay. Okay, so you have one allegation listed on your warrant. I'm going to read that allegation to you, sir. When I read the allegation to you, I need you to state whether the allegation is true, false, or you do have a departmental report number attached to your warrant. So I want to give you the option to say true, false, or you can take the fifth, because these hearings are recorded, and attorney at a later date can subpoena these hearings into trial, okay?
Okay.
All right. The allegation on your warrant states that you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 2, as demonstrated by your failure to follow the directives of your assigned parole officer by failing to report to your approved residence at 12-26-2017, as verbally directed on December 26, 2017. The figures whereabouts are unknown, thus he's absconded from supervision. Sir, is that true, false, or you want to take the fifth?
It's true.
Okay, thank you, sir. Based on the admission of Mr. Sanabre, I move to find that he was delinquent, that he did violate the terms and conditions of his supervision, that he may have lapses about to lapse into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agreed.
Motion by myself. Second, Ms. Rittenhouse. Agree, Dr. Wright. Agree, Mr. Neal. So we're going to go into phase two of your hearing. During phase two, the board will make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate you on your community supervision. We're going to start out at phase two by having the parole officer, Mr. Oliveri, give us additional information. Then we're going to go over some information with you, sir, and give you the opportunity to present any information that you'd like to present to the board, okay?
Okay.
Mr. Oliveri.
Offender Sanabria was released from the Department of Corrections on December 26th of 2017. He was arrested on July 10th of 2018 by the Grand County Sheriff's Office on an absconder warrant only, returned back to DOC custody that same day. He has 196 days absconded. His projected supervision end date will be on January 7th of 2019. Current conviction, 2016, resisting arrest, 1 year, 9 months. Prior convictions, 2000, robbery, 2 years, 6 months. 2000, armed robbery, 10 years, and in 2008, prohibited prison contraband, 2 years, 6 months. The offender has 3 terms with ADC, CU and IR scores are a 2-3, mental health score of a 3, and substance abuse score of a 2. There is no STG and information noted. One prior term of supervision. In 2011, TIS release, absconder for 121 days, arrested and revoked by the DOC. The offender has a significant disciplinary history with violence and drugs noted. There are no other arrests noted, and his community risk level is a G4 B5.
Okay. So, Mr. Sanabre, when you were released, you were approved to reside in transitional living TLC 9439 11th Avenue, Phoenix. Looks like on December 26th, you were directed to report to the that facility and obtain residency. When on December 28th, your parole officer contacted the transitional living community facility and was informed by staff that you had failed to report to that facility as directed. You didn't have any approved address or change of address. So what did you wind up doing? Where did you stay? Why did you go?
Sir, that's not true. I showed up to that place. They told me they had no vacancies. At first I thought that was some kind of joke or something, but it was not. He told me they had no vacancies at all whatsoever, and they couldn't accept me. At that point, I really didn't know what to do, to be honest with you, but I'm not going to make no excuses. I mean, I made a really poor decision. Period. That's all there is to it. You know, I made a poor decision. There's no excuse for me absconding. You know, I should have just reported to my parole officer no matter what I was feeling in my head or thinking in my heart. It didn't make no difference, you know. The rules are, you go live where you're supposed to. If there's some kind of misunderstanding or anything of that nature, you go to your POs and you ask them. I know that I did go there and they said they had no vacancies. I chose to, go with my family, you know, and support my family and abscond. I made that choice. It was a poor choice, and if I had the only chance to take it back, I would, but I did it. I can't take it back, you know, so.
So where was your family at?
My family is in, off of 16th and Campbell. In Phoenix, Arizona.
So were you with your family the whole time, sir?
Yes, I was. I worked for a personal contractor, so we had a job out there in Stafford. So I was going to Stafford for like about a weekend, working through the weekend, and then going to my family on the weekday in Phoenix.
So were you drinking or doing drugs or anything during that period of time? You were on stranded for 196 days, so what were you doing during that whole time?
No, sir, I do not drink and I do not do drugs.
Okay. So what happened when you came in contact with the Grand, was it Grand County? Where's that at?
Grand County, I was in Stafford, Arizona.
Okay.
It's in Grand County. It's somewhere like about 45 minutes away from New Mexico.
So what did you do when you came in contact with the sheriff's office there, sir?
I was actually waiting for my cousin to come out of a store and some cops came through. I guess somebody was having some kind of personal disturbances. I believe it was racial profiling, since I'm like the darkest person out there, and there are a lot of dark people out there, to be honest with you. It's like predominantly Caucasian and Mexican.
Uh-huh.
And so I believe the reason why they started asking me questions is because I was standing outside the store. They didn't believe that I was waiting for someone that was coming out of the store at the time, because I worked with my cousin, with a personal contractor. So they started asking me questions. I told them, you know, look, my name is Rafael Sanabria. I have a warrant. I'm a scouting from Phoenix. And so they brought me in.
So Mr. Sanabria, you were in 2011, you absconded for 121 days. So is it just that once you get out, you don't feel like you really want to comply with the rules of a halfway house or anything, or what is it?
No, I do want to comply. I told you, I went there, and they told me they did not have any vacancies. And I was kind of flabbergasted about the whole situation, because I didn't know I was like, well, by the time I PO, I don't think you can believe this, and I don't believe these guys don't have no vacancies. I never heard of that before in my life. So they told me they couldn't let me in. I said, okay, well, like I said, I made a really, really poor decision of not, you know, finding out the alternative, but it was, I mean, like, I didn't want to go back to prison. You know, once you're out, you've done the time that I've done in there, you don't really want to come back. I do want to comply if I have a chance to go to a halfway house. I would definitely comply. I mean, I had, of course, my plans were to go out there, go through the 90-day program, which I would have no problem with because I'm not a drug user at all whatsoever, and, you know, get off labor. I mean, I don't want to be in prison. I don't want to go back and forth to prison. I stayed out for quite a bit of time. You know, I made an irrational decision at that time in 2016 on my case, which I owned up to it fully. I should have never been doing any of the things that I was doing out there in the store. So, and I got this time, and I just wanted to serve it and go out and finish up. I mean, I didn't, like I said, I had no intentions on, if I had intentions on running, I would have never even seen my PO in the first place. But I did. I did not want to run. I wanted to go to the halfway house. You know, I don't, like I said, they didn't have any vacancies, they said. There was nothing, I don't know. I couldn't change their mind, you know. They were set on just saying that they didn't have any vacancies.
Yeah, that's kind of different. That's the first time I've ever heard that.
But it's the first time I've ever heard it. To be honest with you, I'm serious. Like, I've never even heard of anyone even giving me a story like that. You know, I asked people in here, like, hey, have you ever been denied because they didn't have a vacancy? And they said, no, I never heard of that at all whatsoever, so.
All right, let me see if the board had any additional questions for you, Mr. Snodgrass. Saying the board has no additional questions for you. So we're coming up on the conclusion of your hearing. Is there anything else you'd like to say to the board prior to the board going into discussion, sir?
No.
Okay, Mr. Sinabra, the board's going to go into discussion. While we're in discussion, sir, I'm going to ask you to remain silent. I will stay on the phone so you can hear the discussion taking place. During the discussion, sir, the board will make a decision whether to revoke or reinstate your community supervision, okay?
Okay.
All right, the board is now going into discussing. Mr. Sinabra says that when he went to TLC, they said they didn't have any vacancies for him, and after they didn't have any vacancies, he said he acknowledged the fact that he made a bad decision. He should have contacted his PO, but instead he wanted to spend some time with his family, so he actually went and contacted his family. He says he didn't do any drugs or alcohol because he doesn't do drugs alcohol, but said that he was working as a personal contractor in Safford, and said he was there when he was approached by the police, and the police informed the officers at Graham County that he had a warrant. At that time, he was arrested during that period of time. Mr. Snodgrass does say, as I said earlier, that he was working. He has some, but he has 196 days of being an absconder, and that's a long time, especially when in 2011, when he was released, he had 121 days. So certainly he knows the importance, and he's acknowledged that he knows the importance of contacting his PO, and he should have contacted his PO. Therefore, I am going to make a recommendation, unless there's any comments by the board. Seeing no comments by the board, then I am going to move to revoke the community supervision of Mr. Sinabra, find that he was delinquent, violated the terms, conditions of supervision, and had lapsed. I was about to lapse into criminal ways of company as he was an absconder for 196 days, and we have no idea for sure what he was doing during that period of time. That will be my motion.
Second.
Agree.
Motion by myself. Second, Ms. Rittenhouse. Agree. Dr. Wright. Agree. Mr. North.
Agree.
Okay, Mr. Sinabra.
Yes.
So you will be released on January 7th of 2019, which is a few months away when you'll be released. At the time that you're released, sir, you won't be on any parole or community supervision at that time, Mrs. Stomper. I hope that you will take that time that you have left. Get involved in any program that you can have so that when you get out, sir, that you'll be a productive citizen. You won't have any negative contacts with law enforcement, sir, and you won't have to look over your shoulders or come back before this board again. Mr. Sinabra, I do want to thank you for taking the time and opportunity for appearing before this board. That is going to conclude your hearing at this time, sir. Thank you again. You'll be released January 7th of 2019, sir.
Thank you.
All right, thanks.